All right, we're in the book of Daniel, chapter 6, and we'll be starting to read at verse 16. Daniel chapter 6, verse 16. Now our Lord is teaching us in this chapter that Christians will be persecuted for their faith. And they will be persecuted for their faith even to the place of such persecution coming from the authority of the state. That's what's displayed in here. That's a lesson that we're to take as we study this book. Now, as Daniel chose to obey God rather than men, we also may be compelled to break man's laws which oppose the law of God. We are to have that kind of spirit that we are to obey God rather than men. Now, we're to obey men. We're told to obey the authorities, but the authorities, if they operate within the confines of this book, we are to obey those laws. But when they depart from that and they make a law that is apart from this, it is our obligation to disobey that law. But one of the things we also learn from this chapter is that along with persecution, we are assured that God is able to deliver his people. You know, we're not alone in this life. And we have a God that is interested in deliverance. And he provides for that. It may be through death, it may be from death, or it may be through death, but God will deliver. You know, death is a deliverance for the Christian, is it not? To be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. Doesn't seem in that statement to be any parentheses, but there is an absence from this body and a presence with the Lord. So death is a form of deliverance for the Christian. This chapter also illustrates the importance of prayer and the living of a disciplined life with God's word implanted in the heart in such a way that character comes to the fore in times of crisis. What's going to hold you up in times of crisis? You know, parents, you're obligated to bring character into your children's lives because there's going to be a time of crisis when that character will bring them through. Now, today, as we enter chapter 6 of Daniel, we find the king in a quandary. You ever been in a quandary? Oh, it's very disconcerting, very uncomfortable to be going back and forth wondering what is going to take place. But we find this king in a quandary as to what to do now that he has been pressed by the corrupt presidents and princes to carry out the edict of the recent law that he has enacted. Remember that recent law? No petition to any gods for 30 days save the king. That was the edict. Now the corrupt men of Babylon have had their way. For the trap they had set for Daniel requires the king to honor his word, for the law of the Medes and the Persians once made cannot be changed, we're told. Now the king had agreed that all petitions were to come to him. But not realizing, apparently, that such a law would be anathema to Daniel, for such a law would go against the law of his God. So the trap was set. The trap was sprung, and Daniel was in the grips of the trap. Now the king, when he realized that his favorite Daniel was in the trap, was sore displeased at himself. And because he had such high regard for Daniel, he made every effort. He went back and made every effort to try to figure out how he could deliver him. But all of his efforts, even though he was king, were to no avail. There was no deliverance for Daniel in man. He realized that the law must be carried out. And he also recognized that Daniel's God was the only one to deliver him if deliverance was to come. The king recognized his limited power, but he also recognized the unlimited power of Daniel's God to shut the mouths of the lions. And this is revealed in Daniel 6, 16 through 18. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake unto Daniel, "Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee." Now that's quite a statement, isn't it, by this king? And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. I always fast at night, don't you? Wonder what the difference was there. No snack. No midnight snack. That was quite a sacrifice for the king, I'm sure. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. He had no radio to turn on his comforting music and shoot away the musicians. No snack. Nervous all the night. But notice in this account the parallel to our Lord's burial following his crucifixion. Now, in that account, there was a fear by the Jewish authorities that his body would be stolen and bodily resurrection claimed by his disciples. So guards were placed at the tomb to verify the fact that his body was secure and not free to be taken by his disciples. Remember that? Now, this same caution takes place at the entombment of Daniel. The king sealed the den with his signet and requires the same of his lord, so it is well sealed, not to be opened until the proper time, so that the accusers could not accuse the king of rescuing Daniel before the lions could have their way. Now, because of this caution on the part of the king, the result is that God will receive the glory for Daniel's deliverance. It's interesting, isn't it? Because of this, there's no chance for deception. And Daniel is in the sealed den, and because of that, his deliverance is attributed to God, for there's no other source for such deliverance. Now, King Darius is shown to us with an understanding heart, for he encouraged Daniel by telling him that the God whom he serves continually will deliver him. It's easy to see in this passage the great esteem that the king felt for his servant Daniel. He knew what he had to do. The law was unchangeable. But he was heartbroken in the doing of it. You know, now how Darius had such a heart as to encourage Daniel with such words exalting his God, I do not know. Where did that heart come from? Now, certainly, Daniel's testimony was what got Daniel his appointment over all the presidents and princes. In other words, this king knew Daniel very well. Remember, in former verses, he said he had such an excellent spirit. You know, that's a wonderful thing to have said about one, is it not? They have such an excellent spirit. When they come in the room, it lifts up the room. Now, some folks come in the room and the room is depressed. You don't want to have that said about you, do you? You want to have said about you, coming in the room is lifted up. But that's the kind of person Daniel was, a person of excellent spirit. It almost seems as if Daniel won this king to the Lord, and because of this, he could say with such assurance, "Thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee." I don't know if that's a fact, but he spoke such words which indicated some sort of a spiritual understanding. Certainly this king knew the history of Daniel with regard to Nebuchadnezzar and Belshazzar, and with regard to his dream interpreting and his wall writing interpretation abilities. So after the king commends Daniel's faithful and constant obedience in this passage, accompanied by words that tell him of God's deliverance to come, he reluctantly gives instructions for the lions to enter the den. He then places a stone cover on its entrance, seals the stone, and goes about his business, goes back to the palace. And the question is, whose sleep is interrupted that night? Well, from the ultimate outcome, we know, of course, that Daniel gets a good night's sleep, while the king's night is not so peaceful. You know, one thing that the king did not hear was the angel's words to the lions to keep their mouths shut that night. You know, that's quite a discipline, isn't it, for a lion? Keep your mouth shut tonight. Tonight's a special night. Perhaps he said to the lions, "Lions, my servants, keep your mouths shut tonight. And also, I want you to provide a pillow to my servant Daniel." You know, I suppose laying on the mane of a lion would be quite comfortable, wouldn't it? If you could get over his mouth. But the lions, they growled a "Yes, Lord," in answer, and they immediately complied. And faithful Daniel lay his head on the mane of one of the lions, and I trust he slept comfortably that night. You know, if you are a child of God, that's the kind of spirit that God expects from his faithful servants. This lesson, then, should be impressed on our minds when we fear, for our Lord, our God, is able to deliver even to the point of changing natural things for our benefit. Our Lord knew every lion by name and mane. He talked to the animals. The animals perked up their ears. They listened. They obeyed. "Touch not my servant Daniel, in whom I am well pleased, and let him have his rest." My Daniel must have had a good rest. So a lesson that we learn here is that the child of God should be able to rest easy in the most difficult of circumstances. Can you imagine a more difficult circumstance to be in than to be in the lion's den? And here you have a rest. "Thou wilt keep him," the Bible says, "in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. You know, if you have anxious thoughts, get your mind upon God. Get down on your knees and talk to the Lord. Get into the Word, and the Lord will give you perfect peace. Now, rest came not to the king that night. The king tossed and turned upon his bed, wondering if his encouragement to Daniel about the deliverance of his God would be realized. Verse 19, then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. I can just see him lifting up his robes and running across perhaps the courtyard to the den, wanting to know what took place. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. That's an afflicted voice. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? I love that word, continually. That was the testimony of Daniel. There was never a lapse. There was a continuity in Daniel's life through these years from king to king that was transmitted to the next king. That this Daniel just has no lapse. He continually serves his God, and he asks him, was he able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me, forasmuch as before him innocency was found in me. Justice. You know, God's a God of justice, and look down, and there's innocency in Daniel. And also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceeding glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in God. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. And the lions had the mastery of them, and break all their bones in pieces, or ever they came at the bottom of the den. So we see here in this passage of this wonderful chapter that the long night is over. It was a fitful night for the king, who had been deceived by his princes and his presidents, and he quickly makes his way to the den of lions. And he hopes that the words of verse 16, thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee, were rightly said. He now asks the question, if this came about, Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? Darius had every hope that this would in fact be true. Darius recognized he had no power to deliver, but he also recognized that God had every power over his own creatures. You know, he can shut the mouths of lions. The king, we're told, spoke with an afflicted voice down the mouth of the den. He carefully listened for an answer in return. Oh, the lions were so quiet. Was it due to a satisfying meal? Were they peaceful laying there? What was going on? It was just so quiet, no growling. Were their stomachs filled? Oh, the king finally heard, to his everlasting relief, Daniel's voice coming from the den. O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Now, Daniel is continually serving his God, even in his response to the king, because he quickly gives glory to God for delivering him through his angel. You know, it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. The king's might, the king's power was insufficient to save Daniel, but God's spirit did the deed. You know, we're given the spirit of God, are we not? As children of God, what else do we need? We learn here that angels have power to shut the mouths of lions. They listen. God created lions' mouths, and he can open them and close them at will. And our God was able to deliver Daniel, and our God is the same today, and we can be sure he can deliver us. You know, we have no basis to fear other than fearing God. And we can thank God that this account has been given to us, preserved for us, so that we know that God is able to deliver his people when men are totally unable to do so. So joy filled the king's heart when Daniel answered his call. He quickly gave orders to bring Daniel up from the den. Once that took place, I suppose the stomachs of the lions began to growl with hunger, for they did go to bed last night without any food. The angel's hand was removed. Their mouths were open. The big sparkling teeth were revealed, ready to consume. And they didn't have to wait long, for an alternate menu was provided. You know, they only had Daniel to eat last night, but they waited and they were obedient to the Lord, and they were blessed with a much broader menu. The king gave orders to arrest those who had maliciously accused Daniel, and along with their families, they were cast into the den of lions. You know, some skeptics would say that the lions were fed well before Daniel was put in the den, and they didn't need to eat Daniel, but here we see that they're hungry. They kept their appetites under by the direct word of God. And here they're hungry, and the skeptics can also shut their mouths because the king made sure that the lions had another meal, and they went and ate that quickly. The angel of the Lord indeed shut and opened their mouths at God's will. Verse 25. Then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations and languages. Who else wrote unto all people, nations and languages? Remember that in the early part of the book of Daniel? Didn't Nebuchadnezzar do the same thing? Give testimony of God's work? That dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God, and steadfast forever, and his kingdom which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius, and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Now, this decree is in marked contrast to that of the former decree, that of all petitions coming to the king, and only the king for 30 days. The king decides that this glorious event needs to be broadcast to all in the kingdom. If he had CNN, it would have been on CNN. Fox News would have reported it. MSNBC would have slanted it in some way to take away the glory of God, or things like that. But the main thrust of this tract, it was basically a tract exalting the Lord, that he sends to his subject is the glory of the God of Daniel. You know, that's what we ought to take away when we study the book of Daniel, not the glory of Daniel, but the glory of the God of Daniel. You know, it's difficult. You read these words and they're very similar to that which was said by Nebuchadnezzar. And it's difficult to believe that these words come from anything any other than a believer in Jehovah, the God of Daniel. The message acknowledges God as the sovereign God. The message acknowledges a God far greater than any king of the earth, a God unlike any king, for he is the God whose kingdom shall never be destroyed. You know, as I said in previous lessons, we need to attach ourselves to the infallible. We need to break away from the fallible and attach ourselves to the eternal. That's what it's all about with salvation, isn't it? Going from the temporal to the eternal. This is the God that Darius proclaims will receive all petitions, for he is the only one that can deliver. God is the only one whom men should worship, and the one to whom all petitions in prayer should be made. So in verse 28, we see this Daniel continuing. He prospers in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. You know, Solomon said, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. My, we certainly get excited about the beginnings, don't we? But you know, the Bible says that better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. And here we see in this chapter who is at the end of this thing and who is not. Well, Daniel stands. We're told that Daniel prospers. What of the end of his enemies? Well, there are simply broken bones in the den of the lions that Daniel was to suffer in, but they forgot the law of unintended consequences. Be careful when you're devious. Be careful when you plan evil things, because usually those things will fall upon your head. That's the law of unintended consequences. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. So Daniel continues his long ministry under Darius and well into the reign of Cyrus the Persian. He was the king whom God used to deliver the Jews back to their land to rebuild the temple. Don't you suppose Daniel was put in these positions to bring those things about? My, what a catalyst Daniel was in that kingdom to bring about that which God said he was going to do. What a testimony Daniel had. And we also can have that same testimony because we serve the same God. Father, thank you so much for Daniel. Thank you for his faithfulness. But Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness. to Daniel, for you art faithful to us also. Bless us now as we go to our service. May our minds be captivated by the word of God, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.